Coast Tech Fest, episode 10.
We made it.
Yeah.
We made it. What a great song.
Wow, Stevie. Yeah.
Wow, Stevie's from Detroit, huh?
Stevie's from Detroit.
Which is our city-themed music choice of the week.
Unless the internet steered me wrong. What's the passive steer? Stored me wrong.
Steered you wrong?
I don't know. Steered me wrong.
But that's cool. Great song. Great choice.
Yeah. Always puts me in a good mood.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
How you doing tonight, Saul?
I'm doing well. It is the first night of our Thanksgiving break, as you might be able to hear my wife chopping vegetables downstairs as she works on some stuff for our family dinner tomorrow. Yeah, things are good. The weather is a little chill, but can't complain. Things are going well. How about you?
I am jealous of all those things you just mentioned. Thanksgiving with family, cold weather.
Well,
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to gloat or anything.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little homesick around the holidays. It happens every year.
I'm sure Mama Carlin will be sending a care package, maybe. Some Christmas cookies.
We'll see what turns up at the door. Sometimes things don't make it through the Colombian immigration customs postal system. It's not the most efficient system.
Well, for all of our listeners and followers out there, please give Mike a shout out over this time, because it's.
Thank you.
As many expats as there might be overseas, it's just not the same sometimes. So
it's not. But enough of that. Reason you're here, 10th episode, top 10 tech tools for Thanksgiving. Let's give the folks what they came for. What do you got, Saul?
We're giving thanks for all of the great stuff out there. A lot of these are free that I'm going to talk about, so you know it's good to be thankful for what's available at no cost. A lot of these things, four of the five things I'll talk about are things that we've hit on before, but I just want to reiterate how useful they are for me and a lot of my colleagues, my wife included. So just a lot of these things, and I am a language arts teacher, but a lot of these things can be used across the subject gamut. So, yeah, just a lot of things I want to give props to. Starting out with, this is one of the original applications, and I'm trying to screen share, and nothing is... We might need more than one drum roll. The screen share is... I deserve that. Here we go. Full screen.
Yes!
You get something. All right, let me bring up via air server.
Gmail.
Which may have crashed on me as well. Well, I will just go through the site. I am talking about the one and only iBooks, which I have been utilizing in my class with a novel we're reading. We were able to acquire it through one of those, the publisher made a book available for free, and we were able to get it on a set of iPads at our school. So, I wish I could be able to show you exactly what we're doing with iBooks. I'd like to pull up one that I have on my iPad here, but that's not working right now, but I can explain. I'm sure all of you have seen or have purchased the book through iBooks or read something, and we've just been doing it in class. The kids, for whatever reason, and there's probably many, but they like to have something to read on the iPad for a change, and the ability to click on a word that they might not know and get it defined, or a lot of the kids, some of the lower, you know, the lower readers that we have that struggle a little bit more, our special ed teacher has been using this to copy text from the book and put it into a program like Pages or something where the kids can have it read aloud to them, or they can, you know, kind of manipulate the sentences that are there and maybe put it in a context where they can understand a little better. There's a lot of things we can do, all going back to having this book on our iPad, and we are big proponents of iBooks at my school, so that's what I want to bring out first. You know, it's a pretty simple app to use and have, but I'm a big fan of it, and I want to get as many digital books as we can from here on out. I think our school is encouraging those purchases, so yeah, I'm a big fan.
Nice. Good start. I love the interactivity of iBooks. Like you mentioned, you can click on a word you don't know. You can watch a video to see a molecule in 3D or all that extra stuff that you can add.
And, you know, we've just been using it for just a short time, and, you know, I'm sure there's a lot more easier way to do with it. But, you know, just to have a different thing, a different option to use, it's very, very nice. I'm a big fan. All right, Mike, what do you got?
Nice. I am going to take you over to, like you said, a lot of great tools to be thankful for. All of these are free that I'm going to share. And there are most of them we talked about before, but there's a few that we haven't. You see that?
Yes. Is that
EduClipper, one of my favorites. One of my colleagues' favorites as well. If you're familiar with Pinterest, the layout probably looks familiar. But it is essentially a digital bulletin board where you can share all sorts of links and essays and ebooks and documents or PDFs that you upload or PowerPoints. Anything you want to link to or upload, you can put it on your digital bulletin board. You can share it with your students. And it's a great way to get digital content to anyone, to your students, to other colleagues. You just search for whatever you want up here, and then you can drag stuff down to your board at the bottom. They've also added a new feature, portfolios, so students can create portfolios of their work. They can upload essays they've written or things they have posted online, and they can create portfolios in here now as well. That's one of the new tools. So, awesome resource, free resource, great for sharing digital content. EduClipper.
And I want to say, in just in one of our first or second episodes, you talked about this, and I took it back to school. I've looked at it. I've used stuff from it. I've told other teachers about it, and I know they've got on it and found good things. So yeah, it is. It's like you said. It has that look of Pinterest, and you know the same, I guess, the user approach to doing it, and teachers love Pinterest. What can you say? So it's great.
Yeah, it is. Highly recommended.
All right, back to me. And it looks like
tool number three.
Looks like my air server is going to work now. So if we want to get real fancy. All right, sharing the screen there, bringing up the air server. Can you see that?
Yes, sir.
Let's get the full screen effect there. Oh, well, here's the iBooks that I wanted to show you a little bit ago. But we're going to move on from that to a new app, which I was shown by my wife, who is also a language arts teacher. She found out about this and told me all about iTooch. That is I-T-O-O. ch, and it is.
And we'll send out the links afterwards, like always, for everybody.
It is a resource of Common Core materials, questions, test questions, and just a whole slew of Common Core related information. Now, I uploaded all of the seventh grade language arts questions and background information. And I, as of right now, I just have the free version of it. I'm definitely going to, when I get around to it, purchase the full version, which is, I believe, maybe just $4.99. But for the amount of information and stuff it covers, it's well worth it. Just to give you an example, so they have it kind of divided up into the Common Core breakdown for language arts, and there are questions appropriate to the grade level. Here's one about character analysis. You come up, there's practice questions, test questions, and a kid would go through a whole series of related ones there. Here is, so if, you know, I want to conduct a lesson or just give some kids some background info on what I will be speaking about, you know, they have all of that information broken down in great detail. And then you can go back to the students can go back and answer questions about it just as a supplemental tool or as just test prep, that kind of thing. But just to make sure you've covered all of the lovely Common Core standards that we are in the process of adapting. This is just a great tool. Always looking for just simple breakdown of the types of questions that the kids need to know, and this app does a great job of it. So it's called iTooch, and yeah, I highly recommend it. And I got really have my wife to thank for it, showing nice. Me she's purchased it and used it at her school. So
thanks, Pauline.
She's done it again.
Well. Speaking of the Common Core standards, my next one is on a similar note. And we talked about it way back at the beginning as well, but they made some significant improvements. And I am talking about MobiMax. Can you see that all right? MobiMax provides online questions and lessons and mini units and modules for all of these topics: math, language, vocab, facts in math, test prep, writing, reading. They've expanded from just math and language to all these over the past few months. So they are growing with leaps and bounds lately. But they are awesome. They basically, it's an online learning system where your students can sign up, answer questions, play games, do all sorts of interactive activities. And their software will track what Common Core skills and standards are they great in and what do they need a little extra help in, and it will plan lessons around their needs so that they can build proficiency in the areas that they struggle with. And they've got a free version for you to try out. The full version is $79 for the year, which is a little pricey, but what they offer is huge. And we've also got a giveaway right now on the Roundup for a free pro version. If you're interested, we'll send out that link afterwards. But we're giving away a free pro version in the next... Tomorrow is when the raffle ends. So.
And really, you said it's $79 for like one classroom license?
Yeah.
Which comparatively to other programs that do similar things, or maybe not even as much, you know, that's really a great price.
And
from what I've looked into it about it, you know, it just the way it tracks the students' progress and helps out with IEP, you know, kind of accommodating those lessons for those students. Yeah, that's awesome.
And the $79 is for unlimited students. So I mean, that's all your classes that you
very nice.
So it's definitely good and well priced for what it offers.
Yes. Alright
back to you, Saul.
Number 5, I believe.
Halfway there.
This is a good one, Ed. We've talked about a few times, but I just can you see that? Remind 101. I've yes, talked sir. About it. One of our guests, my good friend Ethan Redhorse, talked about it, but I just I've continued to use it and have really relied on it with kind of my extracurricular duties at my school. I do work with the Scholars Bowl team, and I do now newly work with the freshman basketball team. And just a great way to get information sent out. It's always a little iffy on, you know, sharing your personal phone number and having that direct contact in the setting of being a coach or kind of a sponsor for something. So this is a great way. There is kind of a generic number assigned to a user when they sign up, and then I'm sending out messages to my players or the members of the team for Scholars Bowl once they've signed up with a class code, and it's just kind of one-sided messaging, but you know it's something I can do constantly to keep them in the loop on, you know, places they need to be, times we're going to start practice, etc. So just a great, again, a free resource, and if I send these messages directly to their phones, but if, you know, they don't have a phone or, you know, their phone is, you know, has been lost or broken or something, they're without it for a while. At my school, all the kids have their own email addresses through Google, so I can also send it to an email address as well. So, great way to communicate, and, yeah, I've been using it more and more all the time and really like Remind 101.
Very nice. And I like Twitter for connecting classes and sending out messages, but not everyone has it. Not everyone wants to sign up for it. Pretty much everyone has a phone or their parents have a phone, and they're going to check it more often than any type of social media for the most part. So it's, yeah, such an easy way to send out a message efficiently, quickly, and free to everyone you need to reach.
And to have, especially in like a school setting, a public school setting like we're in, you know, it's to have a Twitter account or like a Facebook page or, you know, maybe some other kind of social media, it just gets a little dicey on who's involved and who can see what and who can communicate back and forth, which it's good to have that communication, but at the same time, you know, it's also nice to have
right.
I'm getting the facts out that they need to know, and yeah, if they really need to get a hold of me, you know, they do have a phone number for me or my email address if it's, you know, just
exactly.
Facts, it's handy to have, so.
Yeah. Nice. All right, next up, we've got Educaid. Can you see that all right?
Not yet.
Bum, bum. Do you see me?
I see all you.
Screen. Start screen share. Educaid. Yeah?
Almost. It's doing the, there we go.
Yeah. Yay! Educaid. So, like MobiMax, Educaid, relatively new to the scene, but has been growing also with leaps and bounds over the past few months. This is the place to come to look for lesson plans and ideas, regardless of your subject area, your grade level, whatever kind of tools you have available in the classroom. This is a great place to look for stuff. You can search by subject. You can search by grade level. You can search if you want games or apps. Or last time we had Mike DeGraff on talking about the maker movement, you can look for hands-on, do-it-yourself stuff. All different types of activities, all different types of learning platforms, be it tablet or just in a web browser. So, lots of options. And each lesson also, when it loads, comes with like an overview, ideas for teaching, all sorts of details, everything you can need. What 21st century skills it teaches, all the resources you need. A lot of them come pre-aligned to the Common Core standards as well. In fact, most of them do that I've looked through. Yes. So if you're looking for new lessons and ideas, or if you've got an idea but you want more to build around it, this is a great place to come and find some new learning resources.
Awesome. Can you give an example of something? Have you used it? Have you used any lessons?
Yeah, I've found some good stuff for coding here. Some new apps to help teach coding, which I've actually expanded down to the 5th through the 8th grade. We're learning the basics of coding and all those grades now with some good resources I found through Educaid.
Yeah, well, just
which I'll talk about a little later. I don't want to give any spoilers.
Okay. All right. That's awesome. I know. From stuff I've saw in there from was it the last episode or two episodes ago? I don't know. We talked about it, and I went in and looked around, and I was probably looking at the same coding stuff that you were that I passed on to the computer apps teacher at my school. And as we prepare for National Computer Science Week coming
Hour of Codes
coming up, you know, this kind of things are just nice and refreshing to have well laid out lessons in a way that kids are gonna respond to. So yeah, very nice. Is it my turn again?
Better believe it.
All right. Well, I don't know what number we're up to, but this was number 2 on my list. And here we have, can you see? I know it looks like Facebook, but it's not.
It's Edmodo!
This is my Edmodo page, edmodo.com. And I was thinking earlier, how would I describe this? I mean, this is kind of like my desk. This is like my
dashboard.
It is. This is my, but in my classroom, you know, everything, all the information that the kids need to have for as far as assignments and upcoming essays that they're writing, all their information is here. It's kind of like my lesson plan book designed for them. It's all up here in this.
That's a good way to describe it.
Fancy little interface, and, you know, the kids, they can have some kind of involvement in it as well, because they are all members of this little community on Edmodo, and they can communicate with me, communicate with each other, as well as handing in assignments and, you know, responding to poll questions that I have, just all kinds of great things done through this site. I've really used it a lot this semester for just designing quizzes, you know, little reading check things that we might do every day. And the kids are in the habit of, whether we have iPads checked out for that day or they have a computer nearby, they get on after they're done reading, go in and answer some questions. And it's just, this is my first semester using Edmodo. It's not the class blog platform I used last year. And it's just allowed me to really move the class along in a much more efficient way. And huge fan of Edmodo, and it's really helped my paperless classroom in lots of different ways. So I am a big fan of Edmodo, and I'm trying to get some other teachers at my school, you know, using it as well, just to kind of streamline what the students are doing. You know, not that my influence should be, you know, all encompassing at the school, but a lot of teachers are really wanting to use it, so I'm trying to help them get started with it. So, yeah.
That's awesome. And it is great when a lot of teachers are using the same tools and the kids know what to expect and how they work. And Edmodo is great for that, because it can work so easily with all subjects and all grade levels.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think, you know, once I told some teachers that you could put in your own quizzes and it would grade it for them, and you know, you could have all that there, like, well, yeah, I could save myself. Because the bad thing, and as a former high school teacher, Michael, you know, having a teacher's aide to grade stuff for you might help speed up the process some days. And middle school, we don't have that, so we spend a lot of time grading. So it's a nice feature, but a great site to use, and it's free.
My last year at Gardner, I had 3 teacher's aides, and it was heaven.
Yeah. So just a tiny little add in like this, that, you know, having that feature is, yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
So.
All right, moving on. I'm pretty sure tool number 8.
Okay.
Tool number 8. Now, we covered this one a few weeks ago. Still a great tool. We talk a ton about technology tools in here, and there are hundreds of apps and whatnot to hold from, to choose from. So, Apple Learning, APPO Learning, awesome site to check out to find educational apps for any subject that are really well reviewed. Their reviews are incredibly in depth, and you can, they've got the like report card summary on the right, but then they talk about why they love it, how it works. You've got video reviews of it, you've got screenshots, you've got everything you could possibly want to know about a huge variety of apps. It's great. And as you can see here at the top, they've added Android support as well. So it was just for iOS, but now we've got Android apps as well, which is nice. And they've got the community picks over here if you're looking for something popular. They've got these great app lists that the reviewers have put together. So, awesome site to come. If you've got tablets, iPad or Android, in your classroom, this is an awesome site to check out to get some ideas of what works in the classroom and what maybe to avoid.
Right.
Apple Learning.
And I, again, after you talked about it in one of the past episodes, and I went on there and I found something that I'm using in class, maybe even something I've talked about in the week since then on the show. So it's yeah, there's just helps eliminate that process of just aimlessly searching for an app to use. So.
And I didn't see send it to you, but there's actually, I'm sending it to you right now, an article.
What?
About you.
Oh my gosh.
On a site, profiles in mobile learning.
Oh so, my. Well,
how about you?
I will gladly share that with anyone I can to get the word out. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for talking to me about that.
Well, I actually, it took them a little while to put it up because they were in the middle of rolling out those updates. So I didn't see it until just a short while ago.
Well, I did get a little bit of traffic on my Twitter page, I think, probably as a result of that article, because, you know, thanks to you, I had a short window of traffic on my Twitter page.
Hey.
Now I know why.
All right, man. What? This is your last one, right?
This is my last one, and it's a great one. Huge fan of Class Dojo. Hopefully it comes up here.
Yeah. Big fans of the dojo.
Okay, well, here we are already inside, and maybe I'll... Well, we are here on my dashboard of all my classes, and if you don't remember way back when, we talked about Class Dojo. This is a very easy way to kind of monitor classroom behaviors. It's a great classroom management app tool to use. This is a very good class, so I don't think they'll mind me showing their progress. So as you can see, each student has their own little account with an avatar that they can even design on their own. And basically, as the days go by, you can award a student either positive or negative points or awards for that day. I do it weekly. And the students are able to go on and see their progress, as well as if you send the word out to their parents via email, you can keep them in the loop. And, you know, I started doing this as kind of a way just to hold the kids a little more accountable for their behavior, but I've actually turned it into a really big, successful class competition.
Nice.
Just, you know, kind of totaling up their positive rewards for the week and then putting them all together for the month. Whichever class does the best gets to have a kind of a pseudo reward day in class. And
pizza party!
Not quite that awesome, but eventually they have to keep getting bigger because I keep running out of, you know, kind of
trip to worlds of fun.
But this month the winner gets I'm letting them pick school appropriate YouTube videos that they themselves enjoy, and I'm going to compile them, and for, you know, some time in class we're just going to watch some YouTube videos, which I didn't know if they would be down for that as a quote reward, but they definitely
will. I bet they are. That's an awesome reward.
That's something we'll do. The last month we had Halloween candy. You know, it was at the end of October. So, and then some Halloween themed stuff. So just something simple like that, and it's really helped a lot. In a couple of classes that were struggling to have good consistent behavior in class, they've improved. Just
same here.
Just because they want to compete and they're motivated by a simple reward, you know, whether it's candy or a video to watch, you know, it's, I guess they can quantify that better than points on for a grade, but who knows? I don't know. But it's working. So, Class Dojo, again, it's free. You just have to enter all your kids, your classes in there, get them set up, and yeah, it's worked wonders for me.
Very nice. All right, well, let's bring this thing home.
Number one.
Now, here's something I have been absolutely loving lately. I know that the Hour of Code is still a few weeks out. However, next week is my last week with students, and then we have finals week, so I got to start wrapping up next week. So I jumped ahead of the game, and I tried out the beta version of the Hour of Code from learn.code.org, and it is awesome. They have got a series of 9 stages here that start incredibly simple with some fun Angry Birds. They have little video intros as well. Super simple. You're just dragging the blocks over, you're trying to get the Angry Bird to the pig. Very easy, even for the 5th graders, 4th graders could do this, 3rd graders. Super easy. Run program, boom. Bird gets the pig.
I have done this one.
Yeah. And then, every time you step it up a notch, you get more. You start defining variables, you start adding repeat loops, you add more complicated functions, and by the end, they're getting into some pretty intense stuff. And the setup is similar if you've used Scratch, or there's a new tool called Tinker, T-Y-N-K-E-R, that is for creating programs. And so the setup's similar, where you're dragging commands over here. Rather than actually writing code, you're dragging the code to the active window here. But it's an awesome way to introduce them to coding and to get them ready for a program like Scratch or Tinker, where they can build more complicated programs and have a little more freedom to create their own unique games or applications or whatever they want to make. So learn.code.org, absolutely excellent way to get students interested, excited about coding, and it's very user-friendly and fun. They've got Plants vs. Zombies on there, too. They've got all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah, and those apps you mentioned, like Scratch and
Tinker.
Tinker, yeah. From what our computer apps teacher tells me, she's, you know, the kids are using this and they've just caught on to it and just have been going great. And I've talked to kids about it; they're really into it. The Hour of Code is not something I could really imagine, like, you know, incorporating into my class and doing, but it's going to work. It's just so simple and well laid out, and the kids really are into it, and it's just, yeah, it's these new apps and making it so user-friendly, even a guy like me can do it. So.
Which is so exciting. It's such a great way to teach students problem-solving and critical thinking, and, oh, man, it's great. And they make, I sit there and watch my kids, and they make a mistake, and then they figure, like, oh, this is close, but this is wrong, and they're trying it, and they're solving these problems that are getting pretty complex by the end of it, and they're doing it by themselves, and they're helping each other, and it's been a great, we've been doing it for just over a week, and it's been awesome.
Cool. All right, great choices.
You too. Definitely. Good top 10.
Yes. Yeah, well, I look forward to doing 10 more of these.
Absolutely. We've got probably two left, and then we'll be off a little bit for winter break. One or two left before break.
Yep.
But
that's good.
Nice. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
Well done.
Thanks to everyone for listening and watching.
Enjoy your break.
I will. Enjoy your break also. And enjoy your turkey and your family and your fall weather.
All right, now you're taking it to a dark place.
I hope you have a ball, and I hope you have a biscuit.
Ah.
It's quite possible that I'm your third man, girl. But it's a fact that I'm the seventh son.